scripture has been read. It says, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Just want to talk about assurance today. Just assurance. But if that's not good for you, won't he do it? That one's a little tight for you. Won't he do it? Hasn't he already done it? Are you waiting for him to do it again? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. David was in the latter part of his life when he penned this psalm. And it's a psalm just telling people in the world at this point in time, now and even then, that we need to realize that we have an assurance, a blessed assurance. That will never, ever, ever be taken away from the believer. You can look on TV, you can look on the news, you can look on the internet. We have all kinds of attacks that are going on against all types of people. Racial issues, gender issues, children being taken, people having the police called on them for no apparent reason. You're walking down the street. You're trying to sell some lemonade, you're in a pool, and someone thinks that you're doing something to them or you're breaking a law and you have to come and defend yourself. We walk around now kind of on edge because we don't know who the next person is going to call, if they're going to call the police on us or not. We never had to worry about that before. We never had to be concerned about where we went and what type of protest may be going on, because everyone has the right to protest, but it's how they do it. There are no more rules. I don't know if anybody realized that or not. The rules are gone. It's not like it used to be. It's not even like it was in the civil rights movement. It's just crazy. That's the only thing I can say, that is crazy. It's crazy. And what do we do in the midst of that? We definitely can't walk around with our heads in the sand, buried, saying Jesus is coming back and not look at what's going on. We know he's coming back. This word tells us we have assurance and we're covered. But so we should be being the salt and the light, no matter where you're at. Church is good. We love it. Definitely do it here. But when you step out those doors, Jesus needs you to be on task. You don't have any time to have a day off, an hour off, or a minute off. You don't even know when the next attack is coming, and you might not be the person attacked, but you may be the person that's there that has to pray. Or even speak up and say something on behalf of Jesus Christ. You're not saying it from your flesh. You're not saying it based on the circumstances that are going on around you. You're saying it because God has to be lifted up in the midst of this. Because people still have to come to Christ. They got to come to Christ, because this is all going to be over pretty soon. Soon and very soon, he is going to be calling his church home. And we can't afford not to speak to the right people, live in front of the right people, so they can come to Christ. So with all of this going on, we need to realize that God is going to give us three things. And I'll get up out of your way. He's going to give us provision for our daily needs. He's going to provide us, and this is the key, with unlimited protection. Unlimited protection.
I like that.
And he is going to provide us with his presence constantly being with us. So I look at the scripture and I look at what's there. And if you look at in Psalms at 21 and 22, it says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be the blessed of him that shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. We don't have to worry about a thing. The only thing that you need to really be assured is that you've given your life to Christ and that you are living in accordance with the way the Bible wants you to live. And you're living out the plan that God has spoke over you and your family, because that's important. You can walk out your plan and not be concerned about everybody else in the family, but it says that the righteous will never be forsaken, and their seed won't be begging bread. For our seed not to beg bread, they have to see us live out Jesus every day. Every day. That means when the bills are this high and the paycheck is this high, we have to live out Jesus. When the people are at the door and they want to take your stuff, you have to live out Jesus. Because just because we have provision and we're covered, it doesn't mean that we won't go through things. You're going to have situations where your funds may not be as long as they should be. You're definitely going to have situations where your children and your grandchildren may not do the things that you would like them to do. Or not like them to do, but the things you have taught them to do. The things that you have modeled before them. You know, that you have to realize that. All that is still going to happen, but you have to know that you're not the wicked. You don't have to go to the wicked to borrow. You are the righteous. God will show you mercy, and he'll make sure your needs are met. Amen? Amen? And I love it because he says that we are the blessed of him, and we shall inherit the earth. So some of the things that we're already fussing and stressing about, it's already been promised to us. It's always already been promised us we'll have a place where we can live. It may not be in Long Meadow. It may not be in Wilbraham. It may be on Yale Street. But that's where he has told you to live. And that's where you need to be, blessed of him, on Yale Street. Sometimes you might get out there in Long Meadow and Wilbraham and think it's all about you. You might think it's the paycheck. You might think it's a car. And you might think it's a job. But if you realize that he puts you where he wants you to be so he can be glorified, you're all right where you're at.
That's good. That's
because
good.
What happens if you're complaining, if you're not happy, if you're a malcontent about your life, how is somebody going to see Jesus Christ in you?
Right.
If you're constantly complaining about, I don't have enough money. My house is not big enough. I wish I had this for dinner. My kids are not lawyers and doctors. Is that saying that God is enough in your life?
Wow.
Or you have to have the things of the world to make you feel blessed?
Wow.
At this time in life, bless God for what you have.
Amen.
Bless him for what he's going to give you.
Amen.
And thank him he didn't give the other stuff to you because you probably wouldn't know what to do with it. The thing about living for God and living under his provision, it's never, ever going to be cut off. Your source will never, ever, ever be dry. The only way that you will not be filled and have enough is if you walk away from the Father, walk away from the Son, walk away from the Holy Ghost, and walk away from the Word. Because if you hang on to that, if you listen and do what he calls you to do, you are going to have everything that you need. And we start to have problems when God is not enough. And I tell the truth in here. Sometimes God is just not enough. You're married and you might want another woman. God is not enough. Like I said about your house, you don't like where you live. God is not enough. You got healthy children that are working hard and doing the best that they can and living their life the best that they can for Jesus at this time. And that's not making you happy because you want your child to be this, this, and that. You're saying God is not enough. I'm glad to say in my old age that I have seen from a younger woman to an older woman now that he is true and his provision lasts forever and ever. No matter what's going on, I know that I will have enough. I have never been in a situation where he didn't come through, where he did not. Look, sometimes I didn't know how it was going to work. I had no idea. I had two little kids and living in an apartment and barely could make the rent and couldn't make the car payment because my mama had to make the car and the insurance for me to get to the job that wasn't really paying all my bills, but I had to work. And I wouldn't know where the money came from. All of a sudden, something would just pop up. Somebody had favor and, you know, didn't send me all the way down to housing court, Bishop, so I'd have to stand in front of you and explain why I can't pay and I'm working every day. And loving the Lord. And loving the Lord. And converted. Yeah, I was converted. I wasn't clubbing anymore. I wasn't drinking anymore. I wasn't carousing anymore. And if you think just because you stopped doing all that, everything's going to be hunky-dory, that's not the case. You stopped doing that because of the fact you're saved and you love God. That's why you do it. You don't stop doing it so you can have this wonderful, marvelous life. You stop doing it because I want to serve him because he is a mighty God. Hallelujah. I may not have what I need to have. I may have to rely upon other people to help me, but I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve him. You know, I wasn't, you know, in my day, they didn't do child support and the rest of that stuff. But I did get a check, $25. a week. Isn't that a lot? 25 a week. I had two kids. And you know what I did? When I realized that I wanted to give my life to Christ and the principles were taught to me, that $25 check went to go to my tithes. You know, it wasn't extra money for me to try and maybe buy an ice cream or something like that. That was, okay, this is how much I'm making, and this is how much I should be giving. This is coming in. That will cover that. Was it hard? Yeah. Did it pay off? Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory be to God. Yeah. Won't he do it? Yeah. Oh, my God. Won't he do it? Yeah. Listen.
All right.
I went from having to go to my mother's house for Sunday dinner to making Sunday dinners for my family and the church and whoever else would come. I went from having a paycheck that could barely meet it to a paycheck that was over and above anything I could ever ask for.
Amen, amen, amen.
But I prayed.
Yeah.
And I changed.
Yeah. Oh,
and I studied.
There it is.
I changed some more.
Yeah.
And I lived the word of God. That's why my provision was there. God saw my press towards him.
That's it.
That's it. And that's the press. The press has to be towards him,
right,
not towards the stuff. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to not be financially bound. It's a blessing. But it's more of a blessing to talk about it and don't act like it didn't happen, you know? We don't get blessed sometimes because we don't like to open up and tell people the things that we have been through.
Right.
And it's all a testimony. It's all a testimony. Two kids, not married, one at 16, testimony.
All
I'm
right.
standing here today.
All right now.
Job after job, then finally one good job, standing here today because of God.
Amen.
That provision, I was out of work. I'd been out of work for a year, laying on the bed, watching TV. It was September. The Lord said, get up and get these things done. Because I needed to do some things, so I'm putting it off. And he said, get these things done because you're going back to work. I said, okay. And I got up and I did what I needed to do. Now, no one called me for a job, but a young man that I had worked with at the bank, and we kept in touch during the time frame that we were laid off, and he went to American Honda, and he was telling me about the job. And I said, oh, well, you know. So I asked some questions because I kind of knew about them, but there were some things I was personally concerned about that I didn't want to be part of. He explained the job, and he said, why don't you just send him your resume? I said, okay. So I got my resume, and I sent it out. It's not the resume I have now. It definitely was not the resume I have now. But I sent the resume that I had out at that time. And I went in, I interviewed, and I started the job in October. Usually you have to be a temporary in the job for over a year or so. I was a permanent employee in January. And I know we don't want to go through my whole work history, but I just got to do a couple things.
All right, all right.
When I started, and then I got one promotion, then I got another promotion, glory be to God, because I had never done this before.
Amen.
Then I was told, if you don't go back to school and get your bachelor's, you're not going to get any more promotions. I'm like, okay, I got 5 kids, I think, at home at that point in time, and 3 of them were already in college. I'm like, oh, we'll make this work. Well, God is so good.
Yeah.
And his assurance is so outstanding.
Yeah.
I got 5 promotions and never went back to school. That's God for me. That, not saying that you should not go to school, because I believe that you should, but at that time in my life, with everything else that was going on, that's another sermon for another day, going to school was not something I could have really done. But he made sure that I was lifted to where he would want me to be. Not so I could make money, not so I could pay the bills, not so I could get married and get divorced and take care of kids and grandkids, because his name had to be lifted up. Because anytime you talk to me about the job, I can tell you what he did for me.
Yeah.
I can tell you what he did for somebody else. Yeah. I can tell you about the young people that I had the awesome ability to touch and spend time with and get them prepared to go on to where they needed to be. So it was about me having a job and having money, but it was more so me about me being a witness of God in the workplace and helping somebody else. What if we looked at our jobs like that? What part can you play to help somebody else come to Jesus Christ? Help them get affirmed in what they're called to do in their profession.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give them the direction that they may need. It could be something as little as, don't play, was it baseball, Sean?
Yeah, all business deals were made on the baseball diamond.
Yes, 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 that was a conversation that we had. No business deals were going to be made on the baseball diamond. You got to learn to play golf. You got to do that.
That's what she said.
Because that's where they're going to talk about the things.
That's
But I don't play golf. How can I talk about it? Well, I listen, I watch, I see. I know what I'm going to do at my age, 59, and I know what he's going to do at his age. So I may not be the one who's going to be playing golf, but I can tell you it's a benefit to you.
Amen.
But what about you?
It's true.
What have you done? Do you complain when you go through the door? When you go to swipe your card, is it like, oh, it's another Monday?
Help us.
Listen, joy for the opportunity that God has given you.
Amen.
To lift him up there.
Amen.
Joy. Joy. And if you may not be working outside of the home, if you're in the home working, joy for the opportunity God has given you there.
Yeah.
To take care of your children.
Amen.
To take care of your husband. To take care of your parents. Opportunity.
Amen.
That's provision for daily needs.
Yeah.
Won't he do it for you?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, if he has not, if you don't have this testimony yet, try him.
Try him.
Try him.
Yeah.
Listen to what he says. Sometimes it won't make any sense whatsoever, especially when you have to take that last $20 bill and do something that you know you really need to do something else with, but you need to give it to somebody else. Sometimes it's just a test.
Yeah.
Will you actually do what he's called you to do?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Let me keep moving. I'm sorry.
Right.
Okay. Then he provides us with unlimited protection.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was what was good for me. Unlimited protection. In the world that I live in now, I can't trust anybody but Jesus.
That's right.
And those who truly, truly love Jesus and live in accordance to his word.
Uh-huh.
Everything else is an enemy to me at this point. Because I don't know what you're going to do.
Right.
I don't know what your desires are.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what your plans are. And unlimited protection from God keeps me from stepping into a nest or a net or a problem or a hole that's going to catch me and put me out of commission for a period of time.
Well.
So we need to realize that's unlimited protection. He orders our steps.
Yes,
that's the greatest part about it. He orders where we have to go if we listen to him.
Yes.
There's no, it's not like a, you know, treasure map and you may find this and you may find that. Every day, he orders exactly where he wants you to go as a woman or a man or a young woman or young man for Christ. Nothing happens by just happen chance or, you know, it's just happening because.
Right.
It's ordered.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Ordered. That means the negative or the things that cause me upset could be ordered also to see how I'm going to respond in the midst of it. You know, the days that I don't want to be bothered, I don't want anybody talking to me, really don't want anybody looking at me, I have to get myself in a position, even though I'm at home, where I need to provide protection for my grandchildren.
Yeah.
I need to provide protection for my children. I need to be providing protection and covering for my husband.
Uh-huh.
That's what I have to do, so I can't worry about what's causing me to get a little flaky. I can't do that.
Uh-huh.
I can't, because my steps are ordered by the Lord. And it says that, and he delighteth in his way.
Yeah.
And he says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand.
Yes, he does.
This is an assurance to me that even though I'm trying my best to do what he's called me to do and walk the way he would want me to walk, it's a possibility I may stumble.
Right.
It's a possibility I may fall.
Yeah.
I may say the wrong thing. And because of that, my walk doesn't stop.
Ouch, ouch.
My protection is not over.
Yeah.
The Lord knows that I've stumbled. I confess where my issues and concerns are.
Right.
I ask for strength and power so I can keep going and not get caught out there with that again, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
He makes sure that those who stumble and love him are put right back on that same path.
Well.
But there has to be repentance.
Yeah.
Truly has to be repentance.
Right.
There has to be a change of your heart and your mind.
Uh-huh. Yep.
You have to realize that you did make an error.
There it is.
It's not somebody else's error, it's your error. You
Ooh.
Messed up on your own.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta be responsible for that.
Yeah,
you gotta be responsible for the decisions that you make and the things that you say and the places that you go.
Yeah. Right.
You can't just wander around here willy-nilly doing what you wanna do and expect God to pick you up when you stumble and fall. I don't know, you can't do that. You just can't do it. It's not going to work for you. Thank you, Sean. It's not going to work for you.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to work for you. You have to acknowledge.
There it is.
Acknowledge. You have to take some accountability for the things that are going on in your life
right.
and what caused you to maybe veer to the left or veer to the right.
Uh-huh.
doesn't mess up your walk for eternity,
right.
Might hold you back for a little bit of time
right.
until you get it right,
yeah.
but he wants to put us back on
yes,
track
yeah.
with him.
Yes, it does.
Isn't that a good thing?
It is.
Especially, you know, that's a real good thing. Because the life people like you to fall. They like you to do bad.
Yeah.
They like it when your kids are unruly. They like it if your marriage is a little shaken up. They like it if you have problems in your church.
Uh-huh.
Because then they don't have to look at their situation
right.
and what they got going on and the foolishness they have going on in their own lives. They can focus on yours.
Uh-huh.
So the thing is this, and if you see somebody and you know they love the Lord
mm-hmm.
and they need to be reminded there's unlimited protection, let them know it's going to be all right. Pray for them.
Yeah.
Encourage them.
Yeah.
I think with women, the hardest thing is family, with your children, you know? You want to make sure that they do everything that they're supposed to do.
Right.
Come up and be godly women. We do everything that we try in our power to give them that. But sometimes they make other decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And when they make other decisions, especially when they're of age,
yeah.
that has nothing to do with us.
Right.
It has nothing to do with how we lived.
Yeah.
It's the choices that they're making. And that's their responsibility with Christ.
Right.
But we still need to provide them with protection.
Amen.
You can't turn them out into where they're at and what they're doing. And then when people come towards you and they want to have a conversation, oh, I want to pray for you about your child, but all they really want to do is know what's going on with your child, you tell them, no, thank you. Yeah, no, thank you. I have one daughter who's very careful about who prays over her. She says, I don't want everybody praying over me, and I don't want everybody praying for me. And the thing is this, if your heart is not in the heart of Christ, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, I can't deal with you talking around me with your foolishness. I can't deal with that. I got enough dealing with what I'm going through. So here you come with your attitude. You want to tell me about what's going on, and then you want to say, oh, let us pray. No, not this us. No, not this us. God gives me unlimited protection.
Yes.
I can pass that on to my children
yes.
and to my grandchildren
yes.
and prayerfully to their children and their children.
Yes.
So that means that the power that you live in Christ now can be seen maybe 4 and 5 generations
yes.
from now.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
That anointing.
Yes.
That anointing.
Yes.
And when you see them when they're not doing what they're supposed to do, and it could be your parents. It doesn't have to be your children. It could be anybody. But somebody that's within your family and they're not doing what they need to do, remember your anointing.
Amen.
Remember what you have done.
Uh-huh.
Remember, and I mean as far as prayer. Because
yeah.
sometimes what we do is we remember what we've done in our bad things. And we'll say, it's okay because you did it. Now I did it. Now you're doing it. And you'll be okay because you'll be like me. No, we don't want to do that. No, we don't. You know, I got it right. But I don't want you to take it as long as I did. You know, don't wait till you're like 25 years old, 26 years old. If you can get it right like the baby that was up here reading the scripture,
Amen.
Or get it right like the baby that was doing the prayer,
Amen.
Imagine how anointed your life is going to be
because
you're walking and talking in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So it's important, no matter how small they are, direct them to Christ.
Yeah.
Make them understand the importance of reading the Bible,
yeah.
being a good person, doing what's right. Coming to church, doing what you should do in the world as far as school and activities and the rest of that. I don't want any of my children to go through anything that I went through that was not ordained by God.
Amen.
That was my foolishness.
Right.
That was my stupidity.
Yeah.
That's because I chose not to listen to what my mother was saying to me or what my grandmother was saying to me. So because of that, I'm praying, not just for my children.
Yeah,
I'm praying for all children,
yeah.
all young women especially,
yeah.
that you just trust God.
Trust him.
Trust him. I know you want to be married, but trust God.
Yeah.
I know you want to have a good job and the rest of it, but trust God. I know you want to go to school, be married, and have children, but trust God. Trust him in everything. And if you slip up, that's all right. Get up, dust yourself off, and keep it moving.
Amen.
Just keep it moving. And be in a position where you can testify to someone else, I had this happen to me. And this is what God had me do. And here's where I'm at today. That's part of the unlimited protection. We have a part that we play in that, and God owns the whole process.
Yeah.
Unlimited. Nobody can do anything to you. Nobody can tear you down. Nobody can take things from you. Everything that you have in Christ Jesus is yours.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is yours. I mean, I get excited about that because, you know, I've had things taken when I wasn't saved. I've had my heart broken when I was not saved. I've had issues with parents and the rest of that, and I was not saved. But when I came to Christ, I realized he's all I need.
Amen.
He's all I need.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All the other stuff is, you know, it's just there. It's fluff. But if I have that right relationship with him, I know that I will never utterly be cast down.
Amen.
That means that there's no time in your mind for suicide. There's no time in your mind for that. Not at all, you know? There's no time. That is something that it shouldn't even come into the mind of the believer. Because we have so much in Christ for yourself. For yourself. Don't think about what you have to do for him. Just think about what he's done for you.
Amen.
And at that point in time when it gets really hard and you think that that's the way out, realize Jesus is the only way.
Oh, yeah.
The only way. These young people are going left and right.
Yeah.
You know, they're taking their lives over little things.
Right.
Things that we didn't even think about when we were growing up.
Right.
You know, all we cared about was going to school, coming home, hopefully getting something to eat. Maybe going out and playing in the playground. But 9, 10 years old, they have burdens on their life.
My goodness.
And they're looking to take their lives. My God, God help us. Really, God help us. Because some of the children are children that go to church.
Yeah.
And some of the children are saved children.
You're right.
Because there's so much pressure. And they're not talking to anybody. And they're not doing anything really bad, so you wouldn't think there's a problem.
Mm.
Till you wake up one day and they're gone.
Wow.
So be there. You be the protection. It may not be your child, but maybe somebody else's child that the Lord has given you dominion over where you can talk to them and they'll listen to you.
Right.
Be there for them.
Yeah.
Be there in the Word of God. Be there in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We do not need to have this in the church at all. That's a spirit. It's a spirit to divide and to tear down.
Yeah.
And I come against it now in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against it now, anybody. Hallelujah. Anybody. Where it tries to rise up. We're not sitting around with our heads in the sand like we don't know what's going on.
Right.
We know what's going
on.
And because of the power that's in us, the power of the Holy Spirit, it will not have any dominion where we go. Every place where our feet tread, we go with unlimited. Unlimited protection. We have protection. Our children will not succumb to this world. Our children will not have to be mothers and fathers if they're not married. Our children will not have to really put themselves. Good God in heaven. We have to take control.
All right. All right.
Really, we have to take control. I don't care if there's only 5 people in here. We have to have control over the 5 people that are in here.
Right.
We have to stand. Oh, my God. We have to stand.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We just can't come in here and worship, sing, preach, and go on back to doing what we need to do. The work starts out there.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit's telling you need to talk to somebody, and you're just walking the other way. Because you don't know them, and you don't know if you should say something. You better say something. You better do something. Hallelujah. Do something. Don't cover your anointing and your power in a bushel. And only pull it out with people who are anointed and powerful like you. And then you got a little power party going on with 2 people that really don't have anything going on as far as problems. Take that anointing where it needs to go. Get you some oil, walk through a bedroom in your house, in Jesus' name, claim it all back. Sit them down, lay hands on them, and pray for them. If you don't know them like that, just walk by and say, hey, baby, how you doing? And then listen to them and say, let Jesus keep you. Let Jesus keep you. Unlimited protection. Unlimited. You got 5, 6 kids in the house, line them all up, lay hands on them, and pray for them. I did it. It works. It works. Lay them down. Lay them down. Listen, we got to stop playing. You see a demonic spirit, speak against it.
In the name of Jesus.
But you got to know who you are.
Yeah.
And you got to know what you're doing, too. Don't come there faking the funk and acting crazy, because it's not going to work. It's not going to work. If you're not working under Holy Ghost power, you better sit down. You better sit down. Because if it's not Holy Ghost power inside of you, it's going to take you down in a minute. You're who? You do what? You got to sell a rock? When was the last time you were there? No, you're not in charge of this. Think about your walk. I'm sorry, I told you it's a little different today. Just a little different today. Unlimited protection. Take authority. Young people, take authority in your classrooms. Take authority at your sleepovers. Take it at school, wherever you're at. You take authority. Don't think you have to wait to get this old before you can do anything. That's a lie and it's a trick of the devil. Your power is in you now. You can change things now. Right now. Yes. They'll see you coming. They'll know the spirit on you will change the atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
Won't be any party if I'm in the place. Won't be any wrongdoings if I'm in the place.
Yes.
You may lose some friends, but you're going to gain some strength.
That's all right.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So with all that, my God, God provides his presence with his people. That's a good thing. That's a real good thing. I like he said that, you know, I've been young and now I'm old. And I realize I'm old now, so I can look at that. That's another thing that you have to come to grips with. Come to grips with where you are in Christ Jesus as far as your age is concerned. Where you've been and where he's taking you. At the older portion of the walk, you come with a calmness. You come with a knowing. The concerns that you might have had in the beginning, you don't really have them right now because God already did it for you. And you come with your age and your wisdom so you can change lives. You don't have time to worry about hair is not right and body's not right and shoes are not high heels anymore. That was good in the beginning. That got you through, I guess. I got you through the door. But when it comes down to it, you need to be in a position where you can work for the Lord. And you need to be comfortable in where he's called you. That means you're not chasing somebody else's anointing around in here so you can be like them. You're comfortable with who you are and what you have done and what he has called you to do. I like that.
Amen.
I like that. So I saw David sitting back and writing that, and I thought about all the things that he went through from when he was young and then he's old. You know, I thought about that. I said, well, let me think about my stuff. So I thought about my stuff. I thought about before I was saved. Then I thought about when I was saved. Then I thought about where I'm at today, and I'm just grateful.
Yeah.
I'm grateful.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah. I am grateful. Every year is a year, and I count it because it's a year that God has blessed me with, and I'm starting a new chapter with a stronger anointing, more power, more wisdom, more ability to do what God would have me to do. You know, you don't have to be the teeny bopper anymore. You don't have to act like the young girls anymore, no, or the young guys. No. You looking at me thinking like I said something bad. I said something bad? Okay. All right. You can't be consumed with what you think or what the world says your image should be. Because you're not part of the world. You don't want to be part of the world with anything else, but why do you want to look like them? So be happy. Be happy. If you're 19, be happy. Because you should know more than you did when you were 10. If you've been in Christ, you should be stronger. Women, love it. Love it. Don't let it stand in your way. Look at all the awesome role models God has placed in front of you, male and female, that have grown and matured in Christ. And they're wonderful because that makes you comfortable. You don't have to worry anymore. You can see a young woman walk by and say, oh, that's really nice. Very, very nice, you know. Not for me, though. I can't wear that, so that's over. So you just look at what went by. Because that's not your season. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. It's not your season. It's not your season. And every season you grow in grace. So I'm not hating on those that are young and thin and beautiful. God bless you in your season. You know, that is wonderful. Bless you. God's presence is with you. You go ahead, wear it, do it. That's great. But don't hate on me in my season. I said, been there, done that, got delivered from it. I don't have to wear a high heel anymore. You know, I don't worry about what the hair looks like anymore. If it's done, it's done. If it's cold, that's a good thing in some days. I know I got to be covered up. You know, there's certain things. I'm going to tell this. It's really, I probably shouldn't tell this story, but I am.
Help us now.
Reverend and I were watching TV. And so the young woman had the jeans on with some cuts in them. And so I said, you know, you think I could wear those jeans? And my husband is very supportive, very flattering. He said, no, I don't think so. And I think that was, and he was right, because I had no business out there like that. And you know, you get crazy, buy it and bring it home and never put it on. So we didn't waste a purchase. And I took that to heart because he never says anything that's not flattering and uplifting. So when he said that, and it was a matter of fact, I'm like, okay, no jeans with the holes. So every time, 59-year-old women can't wear jeans with holes. So when I see them, I now laugh. But that I'm kind of away from the presence of God. Yeah, you know, but enjoy yourself. Men, enjoy yourself. Let somebody else do the work for a change. You've trained them up. You've shown them what they need to do. They're much better husbands and fathers because of the things that you've done. Now turn it over to them and enjoy yourself. Sit down. Be there. If they don't do it right, then you can straighten them out afterwards. But be happy that you don't have to do all the things that you did when you were younger. That's the blessing right there. I don't have to do all this stuff. Praise God for my age. Praise God for what he's done in my life. I'm comfortable.
Amen.
I'm comfortable.
Amen.
You know, I'm comfortable. And it wasn't easy. There was a couple places where I had to go back and pray a couple times. And he said, just get over it. It's done. Get over it. It's done.
Yeah.
So he makes sure that the righteous, which is you and I, anybody who's given their life to Jesus Christ, is not forsaken.
Right.
And then our children, our seed, won't be begging bread.
Yeah. Amen.
That latter portion is very important to me, and it's been important over the years, because sometimes I would look at my children and even my grandchildren and say, these fools look like they want to beg bread. they look just like they want to beg bread. They don't want any part of what's being given to them. They don't want the provisions of the word anymore. They don't want to be holy. They don't want to be righteous. They want to view God their own way. Which nowadays, for a large group of young people, they don't come to church.
Right.
Yeah, they don't come to church. They don't never come to Bible study. These are the same children you were bringing to Sunday school when they were 2 years old. And we might have brought them because they were cute and we could dress them up. But when we knew better, we did better because we brought them because we wanted them to be saved.
Yeah.
You know, you could be cute, but you have to be saved too. But I got to the point where I said, they really want to beg bread. Then I had to check myself. The promise is that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. Just because they act like that does not mean they're not covered.
Amen.
Just because they're, praise the Lord, that's good to know. That's good to know. It was good for me. And so when I see it now, I remind them that you're working under my anointing. And because you're working under my anointing, there's certain things that you're just not going to do. We're not going to live like this. And my kids are older, so it's not that bad of an issue. They're not, well, some are living with me, but that's another sermon for another day. But they know that you have to trust in God.
That's right.
And I tell them, you got to trust in God.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hear about your drama if it's not in any part of God. If you haven't prayed about it, if you don't have any scripture to back up what you're trying to do, don't waste my time. Don't waste my time. Just be aware that I know that if you trust God, you'll come through.
Right.
Yeah. That's it. If you trust God, you will live accordance to what he said, and you will come through.
Yeah.
And it's up to me at that point in time to trust God, too.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Just trust God too.
Yeah.
Even though I can't see it, I may not feel it.
Right.
It may be going all the way left.
Help us.
He says that they will not be forsaken.
Amen.
They will not beg bread.
Uh-huh.
That means their basic needs will always be met. They may never work under the full anointing that God has set aside for them if they don't get it right. And that's their loss, and they can be responsible for that. But I know for a fact I brought you up.
Yeah.
I trained you.
Yeah.
I brought you to church.
Yeah.
I didn't send you. I brought you to church.
Yeah.
I brought you to youth programs.
Yeah.
I brought your kids to church.
Yeah.
And because of that, God's presence is with me, and God's presence is with you.
Yeah.
It's important to know that. Because sometimes you'll look at them and say, where did they come from? What is this? And the Holy Spirit has to sit you down and remind you, well, this is who they are, and this is what they're going to do. I'm like, okay, but this is not what I'm seeing right now. And what happens with that, that may cause you to react in a way that does not honor God.
Right.
Okay? I just have to say that and tell the truth. Because if you begin to respond to what they're doing or the circumstances that they're in or what they're saying, you're not really thinking sometimes. You just have to walk in front of them.
Oh, yeah.
Just walk in front of them.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
He says he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed.
Uh-huh.
Seed is blessed.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
If you don't remember anything else I said today other than the genes conversation, remember that the righteous will never be forsaken. Seed will not be begging bread.
Yeah.
That my seed is blessed.
Yeah.
It's blessed. And that's to keep you going.
Yeah.
That's to keep you serving.
Say that.
To keep you praying.
Say that.
To keep you shouting. That's to keep you clapping. Because you know these things are promised to you.
Yeah.
And even though your life may look like chaos, I'm praying. I'm clapping.
Yeah.
I'm singing.
Right.
I'm coming to church.
Right.
I'm doing whatever missionary duty I have to do. Whatever it is, I'm doing it. Because God says he's going to give me his full presence, unlimited protection, and I have provision for my daily needs.
Yeah.
Ain't that awesome?
Yes.
Ain't it awesome?
Yeah.
And what's so, you know, praise the Lord. You know, he's just so good.
Yes.
So good. And this can uplift you when you're down.
Yeah.
When you're sad. When you get overcome with the world, when you get overcome with your life circumstances at home, you may not have children or yours may be perfect, and that's good for you. Give me some notes on how you did that. But when we honestly realize that God has assurance, he will do everything that he said he's going to do in our lives.
Amen.
Everything.
Amen.
Everything is a promise. Everything is a promise that he has kept.
Yeah.
And it's not based upon how much money you give, how you dress, church attendance, where you live.
Yeah.
It's based upon your heart, your confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, you allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life.
Yeah.
You're not quenching the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
He moves and he has his ability to do exactly what he wants to do in your life.
Yeah.
In your life. You may not feel comfortable with it sometime, but it's all right. It's not about you feeling comfortable.
Yeah.
It's about you being a vessel that God can honor.
Yeah.
And when you open up your heart and open up your mind, you'll realize and know that everything he did over 2,000 years ago was for us and for our assurance.
Yeah.
When he left glory and came and was born in a manger, when he grew up and he worked with his father, Joseph, and he had brothers and sisters, all of that was getting ready for our assurance.
Yeah.
When he started his own ministry, and he saved people, and he filled them, and he also saved those that were dead, brought them back to life. Those that needed healing, he was able to heal them. The assurance was right there visually in front of them. They could see that Jesus was going to do it.
All right.
Whatever it is, he will do it. And you know, and they would have probably said, won't he do it? And then he'll go ahead and raise him up from the dead. And he did it. And that's, he does the same thing now, though, Sean. That's what it is. He does the same thing now. He's doing the same thing for us.
Yeah.
If we would turn the situation over to him, he will take care of it. Assurance, he will do it.
Yes,
so he had his ministry. It all went well. And then it was time for him to go to Calvary's cross. And that was the ultimate assurance for the believers that were there and the believers that were to come, which is us.
Yeah.
He went to the cross. He gave his life freely. Freely gave his life. He went down and got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And then on the third day, he rose again early from a borrowed tomb. Then he walked around for 40 more days, just assuring, make sure that it knew everything was going to be okay. It was going to be fine. Even though I'm going to leave, it's still going to be fine.
All right.
Then he ascended on the right hand of the Father,
where
he sits now, providing assurance for us. So when I don't get it right, he's leaning over to the Father and saying, I got that one. Yep, she's going to say, won't he do it? Yeah, I got that one, and I got that one. So I came today just to thank you for allowing me to be able to preach what God says. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, because he's so good. I thank you because God is going to provide our provision for our daily needs. I thank you because I got unlimited protection. I thank you because God's presence is always with me. I was young, but now I'm old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Going to do it?